If you live in Ames, you may have noticed that a house on Burnett Avenue downtown is quoting that song in lights in their Christmas light yard display. If you've driven on the block between 10th and 11th Street on Burnett at night, it's absolutely impossible to miss this. It's actually spanning two houses on the block and includes their front and back yards. And it can only be described as spectacular and beautiful. And like most beautiful things, this has a love story behind it. I was fortunate to be invited into the living room of Anthony and Patricia Torones, the owners of the two houses, and their son Joseph was also there, and they told me the story of love behind this light display, which they think might be their last one after 52 years. It turns out that the son, Joe, is the artist behind the display, and I started out by asking him to describe some of what the display looks like so that you can imagine it if you haven't seen it.
Well, we've got the Virgin Mary in the center with a clear crystal tree behind in the center of the porch for the focal point. And then the front of the house has some reindeer, a mixture of old and the new. Icicles, once those came out, we really liked the way they looked. So we stuck with the clear icicles, which the old ones, incandescent, give off a more yellow color. They have a nice big evergreen type bush, decorate those in colored lights to give it a mixture. And then when the elderly neighbor passed, she had this big concrete bench in her backyard, so Dad drug it to the front of the walnut tree that's 50, 60, 75 years old, huge. So then we started decorating that, you know, as a focal point, and then they put a walkway up along the side of the house, so I put in colored lights, flower bed, and then that kind of leads to the back where the garage is lit up with three trees, and Santa's in the back, and then go around to the middle of the back, there's two maple tree. Didn't you start that maple tree, Mom? Wasn't that just a seedling when you moved here?
Yes.
But it's in the center of the backyard, and then there's a hackberry.
For us to sit out there and look at that, it's just a joy.
Part of it is for the people going by, kids and neighbors. Wanted to keep it more traditional in the front, so the whiter lights and stuff, and then and then in the back they've got a sunroom where they eat back there. I want them to enjoy the backyard, you know.
The stuff in the back is for your parents.
Yeah. So then I got the idea. I was going to work one day and I just moved back here and I was working on stuff, wanting to create, you know, come up with something different. And Oh Holy Night came on the radio when I was going to work. And part where it says fall on your knees is so strong and so impactful and so powerful. I thought I'm going to make a sign with that on it. And then went to the hardware store, tried to figure out what to make it out of, how I could write the words, and then made it in the basement and brought it out. And then once you figure out how to throw it over the limbs and climb, you know, then every year it gets a little easier to do.
So how do you actually make the writing? How do you keep it in place?
Wire and then zip ties.
What are you tying it to?
The fencing. Yeah, there's a fence, so you can't see it. That's up close, nothing's perfect.
Right.
Nothing's perfect. And then as it gets darker at night and you're far away, you know, then it looks really good or whatever. But I had to redo that this year, and then you can't find the same rope light with the same coloring, so I had to take some off of the manger scene to take over there, and
What exactly does it say?
Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angels' voices, and then I just, you know, I took it from the song, but I wasn't going to write the whole thing out, so then I emphasized Christ is born as if it was back in that time the sign went up, you know, rather than it says Christ was born, you know, in the song and stuff. So I kind of improvised some. And
you know, Christmas also happens around this time of the year because it's there's a desire for light, you know, in the dead of winter, because this is the winter solstice, right?
Right.
So there's this desire for light. You've really embodied that, you know, bringing the light back into the winter.
It is a combination of Jesus was born, you know, to they say he is the light of the world. Part of the lights are that, and part of it are festival for kids with Santa Claus, you know, combination for everybody, you know. Yeah.
And then you have a nativity scene in the backyard too, right?
Right. What I had planned to do is put it underneath the sign, but then we put the trees, and so then I had plugins over there, so, you know.
That sign of the angels, that sign, I'll bet it took him 2 hours to get that for he thought was perfect. Everything has to be just perfect. He can take he'd go out in the street, across the street, and stand off at different angles, and all these balls, the same thing. Everything had to be just right before he was happy.
Did it start small or big?
Oh, we started small. We used to take the greenery off of our pine trees because we owned the place next door and they had pine trees there. And I and my younger sons would take and stuff the gutters and put lights on them. That's the way we started.
They've lived here 52 years. 52, right. Dad?
We've been here 52 years.
When we were kids, if Dad used to put the branches in the gutters, he would cut the bushes in the front and then stick them in the gutter like a garland, you know. Like a wreath, and that's how it started when I was a kid. They only had one light socket on the front porch, and then they would string the lights. So they strung quite a few. Of course, then the bulbs were burned a lot hotter and everything.
Why did you start doing it?
I don't know, just religious background. For one thing, growing up here in Ames at St. Cecilia's, being Catholic, I grew up as an altar boy. We started on a small scale.
And they decorated every year, right?
Yes.
So...
And then my son took over.
I moved to Des Moines and lived there for 20 years. And in that time, sometime, they had an electrician put some outlets outside for their house. But they also owned the house next door. So I moved back and moved into that because Dad's health was going downhill. So they put outlets over there. Then we put some outlets on the, put a new garage and outlets. So we've got a lot of outlets on the garage. So there's outlets all over outside that most people wouldn't have.
So the outlets are specifically for the Christmas decorations?
Yes.
So I'm curious, what do you think it is that made the leap from the pine branches in the gutter? How did that leap happen?
12 years ago, I remodeled my house in Des Moines. So then I was kind of in the mode of fixing stuff, you know, and I moved back. At the time, correct me if I'm wrong, Mom, wasn't Dad's health failing when I moved back?
Yes.
They wanted to stay in their house until... Mm-hmm. It passed on, so then when I moved up here, I felt like I had all kinds of time. So then I decided to start making stuff. I wanted to make it nice for him and that, you know, and obviously you see the inside. My mom has always done the inside nice. Well, Dad used to climb up, but when I moved back, he couldn't walk down the stairs. So then I started going up. So then in the past few years, I've been trying to come up with different stuff to make because people go by, you know, and I want them to get the attention, you know, why they still live here.
When does the planning start for this?
I'm not that good at, sure. I kind of think about it when I'm at work or something and then get something done and then I try something to see if it works. Doing it as I go. Really, there isn't any boundaries because if you go around town, there's some really nice displays, but you can't really lose because if you put up anything, at least you're trying, you know. And now I get a phone call at work saying that you're wanting to interview me. It's like, well, the reindeer don't even work. So now it's like people are going to be tries. So I'm going to pull the reindeer out and leave them out for tonight and work on them in the garage.
Do you get a lot of comments?
Yeah, he does, because he's outdoors all the time, and people will go by and they'll stop. And...
Yeah, people will stop and slow down. I mean, there's a lot of lights to look at, so they can't just drive straight by, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot.
People walk by and say, man, I really like the lights, or wow. And
as a matter of fact, when he was out there putting up lights, he just put that sign up there on the angels. And some old gentleman come along, and this gentleman will stand there singing the song.
I have my headphones on, and I'm trying to fix stuff. You know, I'm on the side of the house, and I can hear somebody. Some guy's singing on the front sidewalk. Fall on your knees. Well, I didn't know what he was saying because I had my headphones on over here. So I took my headphones off, and he kept singing. So I waved to him.
And Joe said, he started out, and he said he had a good voice.
He's probably 65 or 70, and he wouldn't quit singing. He kept singing, so I went to the front sidewalk and introduced myself and asked him his name and shook his hand and said, well, thanks for singing it. I said, you know, I should go get my parents. It's their house. Would you sing for them? He said he'd stop back by. That was kind of neat. He was inspired by the sign, and he wouldn't quit singing. He kept...
And he sang the whole song, and Joe just kept decorating, and the guy just kept singing.
That's really nice.
Does this help you celebrate Christmas?
Oh, yes, totally. Sure. That's part of the Christmas thing.
And this is Local Talk on KHOI Radio. I'm your host for this hour, Ursula Rudenberg, and you've been listening to a conversation I was able to record yesterday when Anthony and Patricia Taronis, along with their son Joseph Taronis, welcomed me into their house and allowed me to interview them about their spectacular Christmas yard light display that is on Burnett Avenue between 10th and 11th Street. Definitely something worth checking out, and it may be the last year that this can be seen. And the living room that we were in was every bit as stunning and beautiful as the art is. You couldn't help but notice that when you were in the house. So let's pick up the recording of this conversation again with this thought. Did I understand you correctly when I thought I heard you say that partly what inspired the elaborate display outside was inspired by what your mother does inside the house already?
Yeah.
So it's a reflection of what the house looks like on the inside.
Exactly.
It's kind of the other side of the story.
Oh, my wife does a tremendous job of decorating. This is her job inside, and it's got to be just perfect. That's where he gets his creativity. To them, it's got to be just perfect. You can see that she's done all the decorating inside, but my son has done the decorating outside.
Could you just give some sort of description of what we're looking at in here? Because it's wonderful to see such a beautiful house.
Yeah. Put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in this house.
Right. It has golden oak wood throughout the house, pillared panels that separate each room. They've always decorated if it was kids' paintings or pretty much a family tradition. You know, Dad and Mom started it when we were kids, decorating.
She brought everything down there from the attic herself. Wow. And did all the decorating. So she's done a tremendous job.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I haven't purchased hardly anything. Everything has been a gift. Some of the things are things my children gave my mom and dad, like over there, Jesus and Mary and the little church and the little Christmas tree that's all in glass. Now, that was a gift from my daughter to my parents. And then every ball up here.
They're hanging above the door between the entrance and the living room.
Right. My sister was an artist. In fact, she actually was requested to paint a ball for the White House when the Clintons were there.
Oh, wow.
And so then she painted balls and gave me balls. So I really never purchased anything, but everything here is a memory. So I could go around this house and everything is a gift from some child. Somebody's giving me the Santas over there. Somebody's
behind you. There's wooden carved Santas in different types of Santas.
Yeah, my husband was a mail carrier for 42 years, so a daughter got these Santas.
And they're mail carrier Santas.
Exactly.
And tell me about this sign up here.
Well, up there I have a sign that says Merry Christmas, and I bought all those on Main Street back in the 60s when Ben Franklin was on Main Street, and they're paper, and I used them every year, and they kept perfect.
You've got a long dining room table that's
Seats
set for
14.
A party. Sits 14, and it is ready.
Yeah.
And then in the middle of the table, you've got a huge glass urn with poinsettias and a Santa Claus.
Well, I might tell you a little bit about that Santa Claus. That was given to my mother. My parents moved to Arizona from Eldora, Iowa, after they moved. And one of their friends painted that Santa. And then the tree there... Mm-hmm. Our son-in-law had a transplant at Mayo Clinic, and when he was at Mayo Clinic, we were roaming around while he was ill, and we were visiting, and we bought that, and that's remembering of Dave. And see, like over here, the little choir people, my mother came with those, somebody giving them to her. Mm-hmm. And every item on our tree is a gift except a few balls I bought. So really, I haven't purchased anything, but there's stories with everything.
So these are all...
It just shows that if you have Christmas, people share, and then those memories stay because everybody gave the gifts. I didn't buy them.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for. And then you have a picture of your husband's family,
right,
from Mexico.
Right. My husband's father and his brother both came to Ames, lived their whole life in Ames.
And you're with the DAR, right?
So, yes. Yeah. I'm a DAR member for my own family, my dad's side.
And then I noticed the top of the curtains have the Mexican flag.
Right.
I will say, even when my parents had 8 kids living here, and we had to take turns taking showers, and everybody ate at the table, and by the time we were done eating, all of the dessert was gone, and they still found money in the budget to decorate outside, and you know, so they've always given to all of us kids and that. So I'm trying to pay them back for, you know, everything they've done, you know, and worked hard their whole life and that. Put everybody else first.
Needless to say, we've got a visual description of the Christmas spirit going on in this house, and that's what's spilling out over into the into the outside.
Like I said, always had big house to grow up in, big family, and you know, so obviously a big display of lights, you know, fit the scenario. Raised eight kids in this house, so it's been a full house for 52 years, and then, you know, all the celebrations they've had here and everything. Here they're having Christmas again, you know, at their age, with all of us, because they've got the biggest house and the best display, and then you've got great-grandkids coming up, so, of course, their kids and the grandkids, the great-grand, they want them to experience what they experience, so it doesn't really end, but yet, you know, dad's close to the end and mom's elderly, but they still don't complain. They make it special, keep everybody connected. They're wanting to have a celebration.
So the light show, in a way, is a monument to what they've accomplished and, and the spirit.
You've been married 64 years, almost going on 65 here next year. And so all these 52 years we've been here, we've had Christmas here every year. And after my dad died, mother came to live with us from Arizona. And then his parents came here. So many, many people have come here at Christmas. So it's a focal point for everybody in our family.
We have eight children. We have about 15, 16 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So they all come here for Christmas, so it's quite a gathering, so so we always look forward to that.
My husband was the firstborn Mexican in his family in Ames, Iowa. He had a brother born in Mexico, and his parents were from Mexico. He always said Ames was like God's country to him.
We were originally the only Mexican family here in town. We were accepted in the community because there weren't so many of us, and people got to know us individually as a family. When I first came out of service, I said, I've been to a lot of places in the, over the country, and I said, this is a good place to raise a family. So we stayed here, and it did turn out to be the best place. And so we had never had any problems, and I've been to a lot of places, and this is really the best place.
So the people of Ames has always treated their family very, very nicely. So with the way the country is today, I say we just say amen. Ames has been like God's country to my husband and his family.
To come from another country, weren't they the first Mexican family in Ames? And then to end your life in a nice, stately house with nice decorations. The number of years that I decorate might be limited, you know.
Yeah.
Dad wanted to live here till the end, and Mom might, and she might not once he's gone. So what did the doctor say? His time is getting near. So that was kind of a push for me to add some stuff to make it one of the best ones. They'll go to, like, the grocery store down the street, and then somebody will say, oh, we really like the lights, and then he'll go to the hardware store. So when I hear that, it's like, okay, I want to put up more lights so they get more attention.
What do you think people should know about them?
They had eight kids. It took a lot of work to raise eight kids. And, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in a lifetime with a big family, with any family, you know. You know, they did everything the right way. Not the easy way, the right way, you know, with all the stuff that goes on in the world. They always found money. Dad always worked. What did he work? Two and three jobs, Mom, you know. Mom made everything, sewing and drapes and made dresses and all that, you know. They're having Christmas again, you know, at their age. And so I wanted to come back and make sure they could live here till they passed. You know, Dad's close to the end, elderly, but they still don't complain. And then last year, a guy, he takes all the pictures for the newspapers. He took a picture and put it in the newspaper. So I thought, well, good, you know, now, you know, they can pass on knowing that they got in the newspaper. Well, now I got phone call at work saying that you knocked on the door. It's like, okay, all we need is a TV now.
So it's a tribute to your parents and to the life that you had here.
Exactly. And all that they've done for all the kids, you know, and the grandkids.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to come in. This is a beautiful thing to see. The stars are bright.